The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
We are at the point of the season where you might have to start players that you don't have a lot of faith in, but we'll tell you if we have faith in Raheem Mostert, Austin Eckler, Garrett Wilson, Justin Fields, and many more players. We'll also take a look at the Thursday night game, baby. Sorry, we do have to take a look at the Thursday night game. We are contractually obligated. I don't know if you noticed, guys, but I put in the notes, surprise game. I have a surprise game for you guys later. Game show.
Yes.
Game show, yeah. Uh-huh. And
I always like the game shows.
Of course. Who doesn't like
it? Would have been a better surprise if you'd not told us.
It's in the notes. It's a surprise game. I want you thinking, what is that game?
It still would have been a surprise to Jamie.
Well, true. I think it probably would have been a surprise to all of you. And also a fun topic. It's been going circulating around the office a little bit. What if we used a selection committee to pick the NFL playoff teams? Who would the top four be? And the top three are probably pretty easy, but number four, I think, up for some serious debate. So we'll give our top four. Good morning to Dave, Heath, and Jamie. Good morning to everybody watching and listening. I am Adam. Here are your news and notes. We need like a sound bite there. News and notes. Trevor Lawrence has a high ankle sprain, but they haven't ruled him out yet. So Christian Kirk, they are ruling him out. He's probably going to miss at least the rest of the regular season. He likely needs surgery for a core muscle injury. That's Christian Kirk. Left tackle Walker Little for the Jaguars. He's going to be questionable this week at Cleveland. But they haven't ruled Trevor Lawrence out yet. Jamie, if you are the Trevor Lawrence manager, what should you be doing other than praying?
I believe Ian Rappaport said this morning it's highly unlikely that Lawrence will play. I would guess that's the case, just given the high ankle sprain he has, as you said yesterday on Tuesday show, surprised us before with the knee injury that he was able to play through and overcome rather quickly from a timeline standpoint. But yes, you should be prepared to have another quarterback. The first place to look would be Gardner Minshew. If you can't get Minshew, there's some interesting options ranging from Jameis Winston to Jake Browning to Joe Flacco. You know, so there are some guys that can get you hopefully 15 plus points, but clearly losing Lawrence with the way that he's played the last three games is very frustrating and disappointing.
I wanted to bring up one other angle here. If Lawrence is able to come back, let's say next week, or maybe you're lucky enough where you've already locked up a first round bye, you can get him in 2 weeks. Think about, how do you guys feel about Zay Jones and Parker Washington, Heath, in a world with Trevor Lawrence in the fantasy playoffs?
I would hope that if I'm in the playoffs, I don't need those guys when we're past the byes and everybody's playing. But if I did, I don't know. I kind of want to lean towards Parker Washington. I just don't know with Calvin Ridley on the field if Zay Jones is going to have a huge impact other than a touchdown. And it seemed Washington went into that Christian Kirk role. Still, neither of them are likely to rank inside of my top 40 wide receivers.
Okay.
Tommy DeVito is going to start for the Giants, even though Tyrod Taylor is off IR. And I saw that Tommy DeVito's favorite sandwich is the chicken parm with vodka sauce, which I think is now also my favorite, not because of Tommy DeVito. I want to make that clear. This is independent of DeVito. I think that is my favorite sandwich as well. Had it last year for the first time. It was a revelation. Chicken parm with vodka. Oh, my. Vodka sauce. Amazing. Never had it with actual vodka. The Jets quarterback situation. It could be Zach Wilson. I think probably the favorite to start this week. They released Tim Boyle. They signed Brett Rypien. We'll see. Ramondre Stevenson and DeMario Douglas both missing practice yesterday. They've got the game on Thursday. We're definitely not expecting Stevenson. We'll keep our fingers crossed on Douglas. Darren Waller unlikely to play this week. Miami linebacker Jerome Baker is week to week. So is offensive lineman Rob Hunt. Two more Thursday injuries. Pittsburgh, good news actually for Pittsburgh. Guard Isaac Seumalo, he was limited in practice. And I talked about how bad their run defense was last week when they lost Alandon Roberts, another linebacker in the middle of their defense. Well, he was limited in practice. So if he can get out there for that game Thursday, that would be helpful for them. And of course, we'll talk about Ezekiel Elliott. Dawson Knox has a chance to play this week. Dave, how big of a deal would that be if Dawson Knox came back for Dalton Kincaid?
I think it would be a little bit of a deal, but not to the point where it's like we're getting away from Dalton Kincaid. It could cost him two or three targets.
Okay, we'll see how that plays out. Tyler Higbee is not in the concussion protocol, but he does have a stinger. So we'll see if he can get back for the game at Baltimore. And pretty big news here, especially if you're picking up Rashawn Johnson or you have Deontay Foreman or something like, let's just say Khalil Herbert. He's also on the Bears. Detroit defensive tackle Aleem McNeil. He is on IR. He's going to miss at least four games. And a good run-stuffing defensive tackle. So he's out for the Lions. And Alex Anzalone missed last week's game. He's their linebacker. I think their leading tackler. And he's
middle linebacker.
Yeah, and he's questionable for this week's game. Might get back.
Justin Fields is going to run for 200 yards.
I hope so.
Oh, how about that?
It's a good call. McNeil was their second highest graded run defender per Pro Football Focus this season.
Yeah, it could be.
Their first was Brian Branch. He's the best. He was their highest graded run defender by a lot. Not by a lot, by a decent amount among their front seven defenders. It's a loss. It's a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, that's one of the best run defenses in football that could be without their best defensive tackle and their leading tackler, middle linebacker, Alex Anzalone. You listen and you watch the podcast and you've got your best bets and now it's time to follow your action. The best way to do that is with the CBS Sports app. It features lightning fast live scoring for all major sports. You can track your favorite teams or just individual games that you have an interest in with the click of a button. It's also the way that I get my breaking news alerts. I love that about the CBS Sports app. Bam, breaking news, I know about it instantly. And on the Fantasy app, by the way, you know, you can go right to the Fantasy app and make your ad drops when you get the breaking news. Good stuff. Watch live sports on the CBS Sports app. That I do. I told you I was watching the Alabama-Auburn game on the CBS Sports app a couple weeks ago. And you can track, and you can, and it's free. Sorry, it's free on iPhone, on Android, no matter what you have. It's free, and it's the easiest way to keep your finger on the pulse of every game that matters. Download the CBS Sports app. All right, so today's main topic is the faithometer. I'm going to give you a player. You tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, how much faith do you have in him when you put him in your lineup? And if you want to frame it for this week, that's fine. If you want to frame it for rest of season, that's also fine. I'll let you guys make that call. Let's start with the Dolphins running backs, Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane. Where are they on the 0 to 10 faithometer or faithometer? Dave, how should we pronounce it?
However you pronounce it, I will pronounce it the opposite way. That's been the bit for the last 15
it's
years.
It's the faithometer.
Faithometer it is. Okay. Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane are basically must-starts, no matter how much faith or lack thereof you have in them. Dolphins offense is rolling right now. I know their offensive line isn't in the best shape, but those two, they're going to take away work from each other. But even when they're getting 12 touches, 15 touches, maybe a little bit more, they put up good numbers, and you're going to have FOMO if you put them on your bench. My son brought his fantasy lineup to me last night. He's got Achane, he's got Barkley, and he's got one other running back that's like a top 10 running back. And I told him to start Barkley and Achane, and he couldn't believe it. He was like, well, I think Jahmyr Gibbs might have been the other guy. How can you sit Gibbs? He's awesome. I said, Achane is more awesome. And you don't want to have that. It was ETN. It wasn't Gibbs. But that's the point. Like, I'd rather start Achan and have that huge upside rolling on my team than ETN for this week specifically without Trevor Lawrence. The offense could be a total mess. Left tackle could be out. Matchup isn't going to be easy for Jacksonville at all.
Okay. Heath, 0 to 10, how much faith do you have in the Dolphins running backs when you put them in your lineup?
I think it has to be a 10. They're both ranked inside my top 10 at running back this week, or top 12 for sure. So, I'm definitely starting them. I think Mostert basically just got the second half off this week, right? They were up by so much. He played had two carries on the first drive, right. And they're like, yeah, you're good. Go rest. So there's some risk of that, but you assume if they score that many points, considering he scored like 100 touchdowns this year, he'll probably score some of those points.
This week, there's no question. Baltimore and Dallas, when we get there, there might be questions. Yeah.
Okay. And that would be, it's Tennessee, then it's the Jets. You can run on the Jets. And then it's Dallas, and then it's Baltimore. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Mostert has 3 catches in his last 6 games. So I think, that's the concern. But he scores.
Do you have a I hate Mostert shirt?
I love Mostert. My only hope of winning fantasy championships is Mostert. I love Mostert. And this week, for sure. I mean,
idiot.
Should be good for both of them.
He's got 17 teams with Travis Etienne and Raheem Mostert, and all he does is just crap on him every show.
Two things. Number one, Raheem Mostert played 4 snaps in the second half, so Heath's exactly right. They really were just letting the veteran get some rest. And then second of all, the Dolphins did us a solid by putting Achane out there as much as they did in the second half when they really shouldn't have. A blowout game. We talked all about the pitfalls that Achane could have faced last week on our show. But he went out there, he played, he looked great. That's helping us put him at a 10 on the faithometer.
I talked about this on Beyond the Box Score. If you go back and you watch the, I think it was 78-yard touchdown catch by Tyreek Hill, his first long one. Devon Achane was split out wide on that play on the other side of the field against a linebacker. And in about half a second, if that, he completely abused the linebacker. I think he himself probably could have had a 78-yard touchdown catch on that play if Tua had looked in his direction instead of Tyreek's. All right, next pair of running backs, Austin Eckler, who has a pretty damn favorable schedule going forward, and Breece Hall, who kind of doesn't, at least not in the next 2 weeks. Eckler and Breece Hall, where are they on the faithometer? I'll start with you, Jamie.
With Eckler, with both these guys, I'm going to go week to week. You know, so if you're struggling to get into the playoffs, you better make sure you have a situation like, you know, Ryan Richard, who's got great options to bench those guys. I do think this is a bounce back spot for Eckler, mostly because of the opponent. Feels like he's gotten a little bit unlucky with some of the matchups that he's had, but obviously he's been very disappointing with his overall production for the season, certainly the last 3 weeks. But this is a bounce back spot for him because almost everybody has success against the Broncos. Hall, I think the return of Zach Wilson will hopefully, you know, be good for him. But clearly the quarterback play the entire season has been disappointing. But again, the matchups, I think, will certainly matter here. Not that this is an easy one against Houston. But again, I think it's more of a week-to-week thing. If you can get through this week and they have good performances and you're in the first round of your playoffs, you're starting them. If you have other options and they're, you know, somebody, let's say Roschon Johnson comes out of this game with a dominant performance against Detroit and you picked him up. Or let's just say there's an injury along the way. Or Ezekiel Elliott, for example, you know, these guys come out of their games with good performances, the two guys that we talked about on the waiver wire show, then you might be starting them over Eckler or starting them over Breece Hall. So for this week, still start them. Eckler over Hall by a significant margin for me. And then we'll see how things go from there.
Is the faithometer just my top 10 running backs?
They're both top 10?
I'm going to start them both. 10.
Are you excited, enthusiastically starting them, or
enthusiastic?
Mike Tyson wants to know: are you enthusiastically starting them, or are you reluctantly, sort of? I feel obligated.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't. I guess because I have 27 teams, I don't have time to sit there with each roster and like gauge my level of enthusiasm for each person in my starting lineup. But they're top 10 running backs for me. I'm not really considering benching them.
I like Eckler better than Mostert this week.
I have it Eckler, Achane, Mostert, Hall, but they're like 5, 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
I've got it. Achane, Mostert, Eckler, Hall, Eckler, and Hall, and technically Mostert, all outside of my top 12. I did not like the way Eckler looked against New England. I don't like the workload. The matchup's great, but if he's not playing like Austin Eckler's playing, why isn't he getting 8 targets a game? You know what I'm saying? Right. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
No, they're not throwing him nearly as much. You're absolutely right.
Right. And it's almost like last week they were just, maybe he gets a pass for last week just because the Chargers knew that all they had to do was play some decent defense. Well, and
the Patriots have arguably the best run defense in the league, right?
No doubt about it. But when you, if you go and watch Eckler play, man, there is no burst.
There was a clip circulating of him taking a handoff, like bouncing to the outside, getting a pretty good gain, and just looking so slow. And he's coming off the high ankle sprain. It's been a while now. He's older.
I'm actually watching it right now. Like,
yeah, he might just not be any good. And the Chargers have PFF's lowest grade. They are the worst run blocking team in the NFL, according to PFF. So I am starting. I only have him in one league. I'm starting him, of course, but I'm not like thrilled about it. I look at that team. My first two picks were Eckler and Davante Adams. When I drafted them, I was much more enthusiastic. This is kind of what I'm saying, right? This is sort of my concept for the faith-o-meter. When I drafted Eckler.
So it's the enthusiasm meter.
Well,
enthusiasm meter.
It's, you know, look, I feel obligated.
It's my team-o-meter.
No, it's. I think this is what fantasy managers that aren't robots feel. They feel.
On my FFT team, I have Mostert. How does everybody feel about him? On my magazine team, I have Eckler and Davante Adams. How do we feel about him?
No, that's not what this is. What I'm saying is most people have human emotions and they get excited or nervous about players that they put in their lineups. I am nervous about starting Austin Eckler. He looks like a turd out there. And
come on.
We have to win. We have to win. So he's not playing. Like, he, you know, whatever. You guys mocked me for ETN. You mocked.
No,
me.
We shouldn't have done that. You were right about saying to put up the warning signs for ETN.
What did you score? 20 fantasy points?
This was 5 weeks ago when I was talking about ETN. This was
it's
not
true.
Last week.
Three games ago, the last three games for Eckler have been single digits in PPR. The three games before that were 20 plus in PPR. Yeah. So that's what you're afraid
that
of.
Turd.
Is to sit and you don't want to have a guy that's going to deliver you, you know, 15, 20, 30 fantasy points, something like that on your roster. Whatever. You don't want that on your bench. Yeah. His line is terrible. I'm just going back and watching all the carries that he had last week. The line is an even bigger problem than he is. So it's a double whammy. It makes me feel more confident to keep him in the RB2 range.
All right. Let's go to the quarterbacks here.
And by the way, Breece Hall's offensive line makes this offensive line look like world beaters because that line's terrible and there's no quarterback on that team and his matchup is harder. So Breece Hall's behind Eckler this week.
Well, but the difference is Breece Hall has the Austin Eckler passing game role that we thought Eckler was going to have.
Yeah,
he gets 7 targets a game. I don't really care if he averages 2 yards a carry.
I care, but I also care about the catches.
Okay, now we'll talk about our quarterbacks that I have on the faith-o-meter. And honestly, I guess I don't really need a number from you guys. Just tell me how much faith you have in them when you put them in your lineup. And they all start with Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, and Justin Fields. Who are you most confident in? Goff, Herbert, Fields.
For this week, it's Fields. For the rest of the season, it's Fields.
Fields and Herbert this week are no doubt about it. Don't even think about it for me. Goff is that borderline. I hope I have someone better, but if I have to, I will.
I have Goff as a sit this week.
Yeah.
It's a Bears defense that's been very good lately. 7 interceptions in their last 2 games. 3 of those came from Jared Goff. He has not been good in outdoor road games this season, if we're starting just to nitpick some of the road home splits, but the outdoor games has been where he struggled. He was good against the Chargers in Los Angeles. He was good against the Saints point-wise. Not that he had to do much, but 21 points there. It's interesting with Herbert because I feel the same way, Heath. I don't think it's a no doubt situation, but I do feel like despite the fact that the Broncos haven't allowed a 20-point game since week 4, that he's going to actually show up and play well this week. It just feels like this is a spot for him to bounce back after a couple of down games. He's been much better at home, even though they don't really have a home field advantage. And so I do think that this is not a 25-plus point game for Herbert, but I do think he's the first one to break the streak of Broncos keeping quarterbacks under 20 points.
under if 20. He runs around, I think you're right. I think he can get there, but the offensive line issues that we just complained about for Eckler absolutely apply to Justin Herbert. And you can tack on that he doesn't have a good receiving core outside of Keenan Allen. Like Gerald Everett's becoming a thing because I don't know how much faith he's got in everybody else. Even Quentin Johnson, double-digit PPR points last week. He made mistakes all over the place. Herbert's lowest for me of these three. Goff is next. He's in the middle. Technically, he's a start for me. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it. The worse that offensive line gets for Detroit, the worse Jared Goff gets and the more turnovers that he gets. And the Bears defense, you said it, they've been playing great lately. They're coming off a bye. Ever since Montez Sweat came to town, they've been much better at getting to the quarterback, much better in the secondary. TJ Edwards is coming off of a huge game. A couple of fortuitous games for Chicago where they were in it, but I think the defense is the reason why. And Fields against Detroit, there's this track record of him running like crazy against the Lions. And I think he's the one that's got the most upside of the three.
Yeah, I was surprised. Jared Goff is in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues. Goff is number 17 per game this year. 6 point, he's number 13 per game. I mean, he's on pace for over 4,600 yards, 4,658 yards, but obviously he gives you nothing rushing. So he's having a nice year, but not even top 12 per game. And then
that was the case last year too, right? Like he was top 12 in total points, but outside the top 12 in points per game.
I don't remember, but you're probably right.
I think him and Geno Smith were like two top five quarterbacks total points, but or top seven quarterbacks total points, but their points per game were not great.
Yeah, CJ Stroud definitely should have scored 20 points, a lot more than that, I think, against the Broncos last week. He had a play where he missed John Mechie. It was a scramble. Yes. Mechie was wide open, deep middle of the field. That would have been probably a 50, 60-yard touchdown or something like that, and he just made a terrible throw. It was a bad day for Stroud, but he should have broken that streak that Jamie was talking about. But I don't know about Herbert, guys, because he has been extremely matchup dependent this year. I mean, you look at who did he struggle against? He struggled against the Chiefs, 13 points. The Jets, 7 points. The Ravens, 15 points. The Patriots, 8.5. That was a bad weather game, but he has been very matchup dependent.
Like one of the things that's happened with half of the good quarterbacks getting hurt this year is are you sitting Justin Herbert for Geno Smith against San Francisco or Gardner Minshew or Jake Browning or whoever starts for the Vikings or Baker Mayfield? Like I can't.
And most people won't, but that's the thing. It's like you can make arguments for those other guys. For Minshew, taking on the Bengals and the game that he's just coming off of. For Baker, taking on the Falcons. They've been miserable against quarterbacks, for at least mostly decent quarterbacks. Not even decent quarterbacks. I mean, Will Levis, Josh Dobbs, and Kyler Murray lit them up for 3 games in a row prior to their last 2 games against the Saints and the Jets. So there's arguments to be made for those guys. But I'm with you, Heath. It's going to be like, am I really going to, in a must-win game or a game for seeding, or whatever you may or may not need this week, sit Justin Herbert? It may be the smart move. Totally get it. But I don't think most people can do it. And his start percentage, which started the week, because I actually considered him for start of the week, was at 82%. It's now risen to almost 88%. And I think that speaks to who's not playing, who you don't have available to you, and being a little bit nervous about some of these other options. Like to say Baker Mayfield, he's gone 3 straight games with 15 points or less. It's not like he's lighting the world on fire.
And I'm not even just saying that because his name is Justin Herbert or what he's done in the past. I'm saying that because he's scoring like 25% more fantasy points this season than any of the guys you might consider starting over him. Like the streaming option guys are all, like you said, Jamie, 15 points or fewer or 17 points per game. Like it's just an enormous difference between him or Fields or these other guys.
Like this one, this question is not even, I think, relevant at this point. Like Purdy's in a much better spot right now than Justin Herbert.
Yeah, so we have a question, Herbert or Purdy. If we're going to reference a question, just go ahead and read it out loud for the listeners' sake. Herbert or Purdy, Purdy is going to be the answer there. For everyone, Heath, you have Herbert 7th. Who do you have, Herbert or Purdy?
I have Herbert and Purdy back-to-back. I'll probably end up with Purdy higher, but they're both going to be top 8.
What about Jordan Love? In theory, without Christian Watson at the Giants or
Herbert. I don't like this spot for Love.
That's the one that I've gone back and forth with. I still have Love one spot higher than Herbert because I do think you ride the hot streak here with this, his situation.
Agreed. He's just been playing better. And I don't know if the run game for Green Bay is going to activate just because they're playing the Giants.
I don't know that they're going to score that many points. I think the Giants are going to win.
Oh my gosh.
Interesting.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Yeah, he's just getting my hopes up. Herbert or Stroud, last
number one Giants fan, Heath Cummings.
Herbert or Stroud.
This is another one. I don't like Stroud this week, you know, given his situation. No. And I would rather start Herbert.
Yeah.
Not me. I'll take Stroud, but it's not by much.
Stroud has been bad on the road. Just lost Tank Dell, and the Jets are really good at stopping quarterbacks.
No. He's not like he's been what, like top six, seven, eight for everybody the past few weeks. He's not even close to there now.
Okay. Hopefully you have Dak Prescott this week. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do the faith-o-meter for some wide receivers and some tight ends. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, faith-o-meter for the first two players in many fantasy drafts, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase going forward. Are they tens for you guys? How much faith do you have in Jefferson and Chase, Dave?
10 and 10. You can't be shaken about Ja'Marr Chase after what we just saw last week. Lots of volume. I know a lot of short throws, but a couple of long ones too. And it sounds like Josh Dobbs is going to be the quarterback in Minnesota. That makes me feel better about Justin Jefferson. I especially like that the Vikings took their time with Justin Jefferson. They didn't rush him back. That's when hamstring injuries can reoccur. And hopefully he's going to be at 100% and good to go. Fresh legs against the Las Vegas secondary. I'm hoping that Josh Dobbs is kind of reined in a little bit more. But both plays designed for Jefferson and then plays off schedule for Jefferson should lead to another very good game for Double J.
Anyone not a 10 on Jefferson and Chase going forward?
9.5 on Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not benching these guys, you know. So I think if there's that question, I have a tough call to make in my guillotine league of Justin Jefferson versus Nico Collins. You know, you got Collins taking on the Jets, not an easy matchup. You got Jefferson coming back, first game with Josh Dobbs. Obviously, I don't want to lose. Everybody's got loaded lineups, you know. So it's tough. Thankfully, I also have Chase in that league too. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes in relation to those type of players. I don't think a lot of people have those type of decisions, but you might have a Nico versus Jefferson, or you might have somebody that may have popped up recently that's playing well.
Pittman?
I don't know. You may have Michael Pittman and Mike Evans that you drafted well behind Jefferson. You know that those guys are playing at just a high level that you're not going to sit them if it's a two-receiver league, no flex.
So, Dave, it seems like you said it sounds like Dobbs is going to be the guy. I didn't see
just
anything.
From what I've been reading on X.
There was one beat writer who speculated that based on what he's heard, it sounds like it's going to be Dobbs. They're going to make the announcement today.
Right. So, and if it's, let's just have the conversation. If it's not Dobbs, if it's Mullins or if it's Jaren Hall, those guys still fit the type of offense that they ran with Kirk Cousins. And so maybe that's like a side benefit, but I don't think they've got this type of like scramble drill upside that Dobbs has. I think that's not a crazy statement to say.
I don't think I really care who the quarterback is, because Josh Dobbs hasn't been good for fantasy because he's an accurate passer. He's been good because he runs for 50 yards a game.
Look, recently he's been brutal, but there, when he got there, his first game there in the second half, he made some outstanding throws.
Paul makes me the most nervous.
Outstanding throws.
Paul makes me the most nervous. I think Mullins is the closest thing to Kirk Cousins that we'll see, just because the lack of mobility and probably just hanging in the pocket a little bit more and a little bit more, you know, system play, you know, from what we'll get. You know, like you said, Dave, I think from Dobbs and certainly from Hall, they'll panic and get outside the pocket, and that might lead to them running more as opposed to necessarily eyes down the field looking for Justin Jefferson. So in terms of design plays for Jefferson, Mullins is probably the safest. But, you know, Dobbs, I think, brings the most upside.
And they need to find their quarterback, because after this week, it's the Bengals, it's the Lions, it's the Packers, and then it's the Lions again. They need wins. They got to get it going. They need to have faith in their quarterback. They need to get a 10 on one of their QBs.
All right, so let's go rapid fire for the next three wide receivers and tell me how much faith you have in them. Devontae Smith, let's assume Dallas Goddard's back. He was the number 28 wide receiver per game before the Goddard injury. Everything has changed since then. How much faith are you going to have in Devontae Smith with Goddard back?
8.
He goes from a 10, I think, to a 8.5.
I'm right with Heath, 8.
Okay. Cortland Sutton, just in general, you know, this guy's got 9 touchdowns this year. He's on pace for 902 yards and 13 touchdowns on 106 targets. Cortland Sutton, how much faith do you have in him?
I'm going to put him at a 7, and I want to reference the plea that Chris Towers made on our live stream on Sunday about why you shouldn't buy into Cortland Sutton. And I thought about that plea. It was a passionate plea where he was saying, start Chris Godwin, sit Cortland Sutton. There's no way Sutton's should be counted on because of these touchdowns. And I thought about that as Cortland Sutton scored a touchdown again against the Texans last week. Got this knack for it. He's rolling right now. Easily the number one receiver in Denver. At worst, he's a wide receiver 3 on your fantasy squad.
Yeah, it's a 7. Chargers give up the third most points to wide receivers, and they're basically bad at everything defensively. And the touchdown regression should come, but also he's seeing 48% of the end zone targets from one of the best touchdown producing quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah. And finally, he gets some good matchups. He hasn't really had a lot of good matchups. Chargers twice and the Lions in his next 4 games. All right, Jamie, I'll just give you this one. Garrett Wilson. What's your faith in Garrett Wilson?
8.5 in PPR, 4 and non. I mean, you know, it's tough to trust any touchdown potential from him, but Zach Wilson, of the turds that have been the quarterbacks for the Jets, he's been the best. So hopefully his return will help Garrett Wilson and this offense produce. But I mean, look, it's been a frustrating season for Garrett Wilson's fantasy managers, for Garrett Wilson himself, and for Jets fans. So you just kind of, I think, as I said a couple weeks ago, he's more of a borderline number 2, number 3 receiver at this point in PPR, and just not somebody you can trust in non-PPR.
27th per game in full PPR. I feel like he's having a better year than that. That actually surprises me. All right, 2 tight ends I have on this list that I tried to dig into yesterday and see when are they going to be good? What's the predictability here? What's the theme? I found nothing. Jake Ferguson and Cole Kmet. It's the 8-ball for them. How much faith do you have, Heath, in Jake Ferguson and Cole Kmet?
Are we grading on a curve because it's the tight end scale? I mean, I'm not looking for someone else if I have them on my team. I'm just starting them. 7.
Okay.
If I had to pick between the two, I'd pick Ferguson.
I've got Kmet higher,
I feel better starting Ferguson when I think the Cowboys are going to put up a lot of points, and or when I think they're going to struggle to run the football, like maybe when they're playing Philadelphia. Perfect time to start Ferguson. Kmet is absolutely 8-ball worthy.
Ferguson lit up the Eagles last time they played. All right. Well, thank you for your. Sorry, I'm trying to get a soundbite up. Thank you for your thoughts on the faithometer. It is now time for Thursday Night Football, Dave.
Na 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 na.
Oh, yeah, we needed a Heath groan for that one. Patriots at the Steelers. The over-under is 30 points. The Steelers are 6-point favorites. Okay, sit the quarterbacks.
Wait, wait. Mitchell Trubisky said he planned to be aggressive.
Okay.
In this game.
All right. Stat of the game. In their last three games, the Patriots held Jonathan Taylor to 14.5 points, but he had 23 carries for 69 yards and a touchdown and one catch for 6 yards. Saquon Barkley scored 6.2 points, and Austin Eckler scored 4.7 fantasy points. And if you just look at all the running backs against the Patriots, for the most part, I think you could say if they don't score, they do not have good games. Jamie, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, or Ezekiel Elliott, who's the best running back in this game?
Zeke, and that's disgusting to say, but you know, you're looking at him as the solo act, getting all the work and hopefully all the work in the passing game. And Najee and Warren, I think, as he said, you know, their run defense for the Patriots is worth noting that it's tough to say that one's going to be better than the other significantly. So I would still start Harris over Warren at this point, but both outside my top 24. Zeke is in my top 20, and even if DeAndre Swift plays, I would start him over Swift, for example. So I think there's just looking at Ramondre and what he's done in this terrible situation, looking at Zeke and how he performed last week against the Chargers. I know it was an easy matchup, but against the Chargers with all that work, especially the work in the passing game, I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott.
Based on the previous conversation, it doesn't sound like anyone would have Zeke over Hall and Eckler this week, right?
No, I would not. No.
Nope.
Okay. Would you start Ezekiel Elliott or Noah Brown?
Zeke.
Garrett Wilson against the Texans.
Zeke.
Wilson for sure in PPR.
I might take Zeke even in, I don't know if I can do it.
They may have the same amount of catches. I'm taking
Zeke. Yeah, I might. It's so much easier in 9.5. I think I'll take Zeke.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad I don't have to make this decision. Zeke or DK Metcalf?
DK.
That's Metcalf.
There's more upside with him, even in a tough matchup.
All right, but we saw 2 weeks ago what San Francisco did to DK Metcalf. It was ugly.
You didn't ask the fun one that I thought that you would.
Oh, please.
Zeke or Tony Pollard?
Oh, yeah, that is fun. This is really fun. Oh.
Who's having fun?
Yeah, no, that's stressful. Pollard for Jamie?
Yeah, but it's close.
Against the Eagles.
It's Pollard.
I've got Zeke one spot higher.
I hate putting all this faith in Ezekiel Elliott. Like,
it's a lack of faith in Tony Pollard.
And I'm happy that people either stashed him or picked him up off the waiver wire. Can he get you 15 fantasy points in PPR without a touchdown?
He got 13 last week in a shared role.
I don't think he needs 15 to beat Pollard.
It's true.
The Eagles' run defense has been a little leaky lately. They've got injuries at linebacker. One game they were missing a defensive.
He just got a linebacker, though.
Oh, okay. They got like one of the worst linebackers. I'm sorry. I know he's got a big
name.
I'm
just saying they just added somebody, you know. So
yeah, I don't think I can really look at that as a big upgrade. And if Cunningham comes back, that'd be different. But the Eagles are a little beat up the middle on defense, so Pollard might be okay.
Yeah, I'm not sitting the Cowboys running back at this point. I just think he's passed the test the last month, and I think you got to trust it. But so has the Patriots running back, you know, and so it's not necessarily just Ezekiel Elliott. It's what Ramondre Stevenson has done. And if this was Stevenson facing a depleted Pittsburgh defense, I'd have no hesitation. Sure. So whereas Stevenson would be a top 15 guy for me, Zeke is just outside.
Well, that's kind of the question I have about the Steelers run defense. Is it as, you know, does the Landon Roberts matter that much? I don't know.
They're not playing somebody who knows what they're doing.
Well,
and that's not to say that Landon Roberts doesn't know what he's doing. He left early, and his replacement didn't. And so now they've got a bunch of veteran middle linebackers, and I guess Roberts is in that mix. One of those guys will be in the middle. It doesn't mean that they're going to be good at their job, but at least they'll be able to like bring in the play, direct other people on the defense, be the quarterback of the defense, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
The thing that makes me more interested in both Zeke and Najee, and I do have Najee higher, is that it's a Thursday game. It's late in the season. Both these defenses are going to be exhausted. It's a tough spot for them. It's an easier spot for the running backs. I would expect them both to be pretty good.
You're the only one who likes Najee, right? I feel like the rankings are way off on Najee. Very different on Najee. Okay, so Dave says Najee
needs to score. If he doesn't score, he's terrible.
All right.
Might be the same for Zeke.
Zeke just had four catches. When's the last time Najee had four catches in a game?
That's the thing is, I think it's more likely that I like Warren a little bit better than Najee, but I agree with Jamie that either one's my top 24. I just think if you're going to be good against the Patriots, you're going to have to catch four or five passes, or you're going to have to break a big run, and those are both more likely to be Warren.
Okay, I'm going to read some chat questions in a minute when we're done talking about this game. We have some good questions in the chat about this game, so get ready for that. Real quick on the Patriots wide receivers.
Nope.
What if Douglas plays? Can you get you this 11 PPR points?
Yes.
I would guess we could probably talk about that tomorrow when we get him. But yeah, I think 11, you know, he had a 9-target, 6-catch game before he left with a concussion, and he had just under 11 PPR points. So that's just, you know, 6 for 50 is might be a stretch.
I don't think Devontae Parker is the worst deep flex if Douglas is out. But he had 9 targets last week. There's always a week or two where Devontae Parker scores 15 fantasy points every season. We're due.
He's also 6 for 50 at best, maybe 5 for 60.
Yeah, but Douglas scored 11 fantasy points against the Giants on half the snaps. So if he gets back, you know.
Yeah, it's very encouraging.
Did he even participate in practice yet?
No.
I don't think there's any chance.
Well, they really haven't been practicing. You know, it's a lot of walkthroughs and you know, estimated practice reports, but he hasn't cleared the protocol, which is the big thing.
Right.
All right, let's go to the Steelers here.
They're not trying to win, so.
Right.
Sit Hunter Henry, sit Trubisky. We talked about Dave likes Najee. Dave and Jamie and Heath would prefer to sit the Steelers running backs. Dave likes Najee as like top 20, not top 12.
They're very close.
And
Najee and Zeke are close.
Deontay, any interest in Pickens or Deontay in this game?
Deontay is a PPR starter in 3 or 4 leagues.
Okay.
We've got this track record of Trubisky leaning on Deontay Johnson when he's played. It's the only reason to be interested in Deontay Johnson.
I think that Deontay is a number 3 in full PPR and Pickens is Devontae Parker.
Okay. If Demario Douglas plays, would you go with Deontay or Demario?
Deontay.
Demario, yep. But I don't think that's actually.
Okay.
I don't know.
And then as far as Pat Freiermuth is concerned, how are we feeling about Pat Freiermuth?
Low end starter at best.
Yeah.
At best.
Right around 12.
Okay. Pat Freiermuth or Taysom Hill, PPR.
That's Taysom.
Isaiah Likely.
No. I've got Likely.
What'd you say? Freiermuth.
Freiermuth. I've tried to move Likely up in my rankings because the projections hate him so much. But the reason the projections hate him so much is because there's been 3 games, basically. Mark Andrews has not played or missed most of the game. And Likely has like 0, 1, and 8 fantasy points.
And his ADOT is like 4 yards. They don't really use him downfield at all. So I think, yeah, I feel like he's got 1 game now to prove himself, at least to me. And if he has another game where he's just like a gimmick player, then I think, unfortunately, Likely it's probably not going to be a thing. But all right, Freiermuth, we've seen the last 2 games, 1 great, 1 terrible. And which DST do you like better?
He had one great game with Kenny Pickett against the easiest matchup in fantasy, or for tight ends. It doesn't have to be for fantasy, with the Bengals.
Are you like the Steelers really better? Which kicker? No, I said DST. You like the Steelers better, but Patriots are a low-end starter. All right, so let me see if I have any questions here. I know I do. Deontay Johnson or Joe Mixon, half PPR?
Mixon.
I'll take Mixon.
Mixon.
Deontay Johnson or Cup?
I'll take Cup.
Cup just barely.
Deontay Johnson, Amari Cooper, or Jerome Ford, half PPR, if Cooper plays?
I think he got a Ford after what we saw from that Jaguars defense last week.
Ford, you said?
Ford.
I think Cooper would be the answer if Cooper plays, right? Or no?
Yes.
Am I crazy?
Yeah, he gets in a couple practices this week. I'll take Cooper.
In half PPR, I'd probably still go Ford, but
okay.
They're flexes.
replacing Derek Carr, Desmond Ridder, Jake Browning, or Mitchell Trubisky?
Browning.
Browning.
But in non-PPR, it'd be Browning also.
And then last one, Zach Moss or Ezekiel Elliott?
Moss.
Moss. What they said.
Moss. All right. That is, sorry, I'm looking for a good Heath groan. That is Thursday Night Football.
Na, 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 na.
So what
That's
if,
my favorite one.
Oh, wait, I didn't take my second break yet, did we? Okay, let's take another break. We still have a lot of content left, a lot of fun content. The show is about to go off the rails, folks. We'll
Look
be right
at your
back.
Eyebrows going up as you promote that.
We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The surprise game show is coming up. But first, what if the NFL playoffs used a selection committee to make their picks, and they only got to pick 4 teams? Who would be in? I love this question here. This is tough. It's a tough job for sure. Of course, I'm not going to penalize teams if they have injuries because that'd be stupid. But all right. Does everybody agree? San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Baltimore are in.
No.
What?
San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Baltimore.
No, I was saying what to everybody didn't. I thought everybody agreed.
How
to
could
that.
You not
so,
agree
yes.
on that? How could
I,
you not?
I do agree to that. I'm curious which team is not.
I don't have Baltimore.
Same.
Wow.
So
get him, Heath.
Well, we're doing this. Hold on. We're doing this as if we're the college football playoff.
Right. Who do you want to see in?
Oh, that is. Oh, wait. Oh. It is
who
not
do you want to see
who
in or
you
who
want to see in. You're
no,
not,
it's not even who we want to see in. If we're doing
TV
it like the college
executive.
Football playoff selection committee, it's who's going to make us the most money. Baltimore's
oh,
out.
Okay. Is this honestly what we're doing here? We're
yeah,
being this cynical?
This is what the assignment was.
No, the assignment, I'm giving you a different assignment if that's how you interpreted it. The assignment is which
okay,
four,
well, that's not the assignment we were given.
Which right, four exactly. teams deserve to be in? I do not remember the assignment being who do you want to see in. It's who deserves to
You're
be
the
in.
Committee. Pick the 4 teams you wanted.
That's not what the committee's job is. You don't have to take it so literally. You're supposed to pick
the
4.
But that's exactly what they did. That's why Florida State's out.
And that's
it's
why.
It has nothing to do with deserve.
And that's why everyone hates them, Dave.
They've got a bunch of bean counters in there.
Not everyone hates the committee. I love the committee. Get everybody talking about college football.
All right.
You know, I am so disappointed in you guys. You sold out. You sold out.
They're kind of being like me, honestly.
They are.
I'm a little bit taken aback. Really, this is uncomfortable.
I put the 4 teams in I want to see.
Oh my God! First of all, like, why? Who wouldn't want to see Baltimore? I want to see Baltimore.
They're
they actually
boring.
Have a good defense.
They're boring.
Oh man, I this is so
you
want to
see Gus Edwards run 15 times?
He never runs 15 times.
Okay,
not anymore. I'd like to see Keaton Mitchell run 15 times.
I'm so disappointed. Okay, Heath, you have a real list. Who's your top 4?
Well, I did it with the 4th team, not with the 3rd. But no, it's San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Baltimore are, I thought, the clear top 3. And then I think you have to take the Chiefs 4th because they beat Jacksonville. They beat Miami. And Dallas, like Miami, hasn't beaten anybody. So Chiefs are the Lions got obliterated by the Ravens. So it's those 4.
Okay. So you go Niners, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Dave, you go, greatest show on turf Rams, the
no, Dan Marino those Dolphins. Those teams aren't currently playing right now. I picked four teams that are currently playing, but I did it based on the criteria I thought you laid out, which is which four would be would get the most attention and make the most money for the National Football League.
On what planet did I lay out that criteria?
You said college football playoff selection committee.
That's not what they. That's not what they're supposed to do.
Ask anybody.
It's not what they're
supposed to do.
So be better than them. Be better than them.
No, just give me a list. I want to hear who you want to see.
Go ahead. What's your ratings list? Your TV ratings list
for me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Niners are in. Eagles are in. Chiefs are in. Cowboys are in.
Okay, Jamie, how about you?
That's based on that criteria.
Crapteria.
That's fine. You've been talking a lot about that subject today.
I did. This is the order. I did San Francisco 1, Miami 2, Philly 3, Dallas 4. And you got to give Miami a home game because, as he said, they can't beat anybody on the road. So you got to give them at least the two spots so they give a chance to maybe win a game. But those are the four most exciting teams to watch.
Okay. I took this assignment a little bit more seriously and went with the four teams.
Who didn't take it seriously?
You and Dave, this is not.
No, we took it. Absolutely, I can't speak for Dave. I took it seriously. Like, these are the four teams that I would vote in. They're all records are certainly applicable.
Okay. So if you were really on a committee and this really existed,
yeah,
and you voted in the four teams and you said, you went on national TV and you said, I left Baltimore, a 9-3 Baltimore team out because I think the Dolphins are more exciting.
100%.
You would
I'm
be
saying
okay
it right
with
now
that?
On a live broadcast. Why would I not say it on TV?
because there are really no stakes here, right?
Let's just say the cameras weren't on.
No, there are no stakes here. You're not actually making the picks. You would
we're
get
I submitted that to the assignment from what we were given.
Yeah, okay,
same thing.
But you're not the actual selection committee. If you actually had to make, you would have a really hard time leaving a more deserving team out because they're not exciting. You know, you would get death threats for that.
So, but, Dave,
you'd get threats either way.
Dave, you went San Francisco, Philadelphia, Dallas, and who?
Kansas City.
And Jamie went Dallas and Miami.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm tallying up the results here. So when Adam gives his, like, we can say who actually four is.
Well, Kansas City, to be honest with you, is pretty damn boring, I think. I mean, I know they're good for ratings, but they are not explosive and they have a good defense. So they're actually, I think, a boring team. San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Baltimore. I struggled very much with the last choice, but I was going to take the Chiefs because they beat the Dolphins. But then I said, I got to take the Lions. They have a better record than the Chiefs, and they beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. So I'm going with the Lions as the fourth team. San Francisco, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Detroit.
They beat the Chiefs.
They beat the Chiefs. I'm sorry. I have to give it to them. They're 9-3.
No, they don't get credit for beating the Chiefs because it was the first week of the season and the Chiefs didn't have Chris Jones and Travis Kelce.
Fair enough. Right. But
the committee would not acknowledge that victory.
My committee would. So San Francisco, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Detroit. So you want to
we did not come up with a top four. Oh. So well, San Francisco and Philadelphia were unanimous.
You guys all have Kansas City, though.
Baltimore, Kansas City, and Dallas are tied with two votes each. One of them has to be eliminated.
To me, it's Kansas City.
It's Dallas.
I would leave Kansas City off too.
Dallas's point differential is overwhelming, but man, they have really had
you don't get credit for that if you don't beat anybody.
Schedule, yeah, it's true. You know, we could do this a lot. We could do this probably much easier next week with the teams that are playing. You know, Dallas, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Buffalo. We'll probably have
if we're doing it based on strength of schedule wins, then why aren't the Jaguars being talked about? They've got the highest strength of schedule win of any playoff team right now.
Well, they lost to the Chiefs. Who do they have? Who? What are you saying?
They have the highest. I'm looking right now at their strength of schedule for wins, and it's at 549, and it's higher than anybody.
They just lost Trevor Lawrence.
No,
they can't be.
No, that's not. They can't do that. That's not fair.
You can too. We're trying to be the committee.
We're trying to be the.
Yeah, that's why none of us had the Jaguars on our stupid group of four because we're trying to be the committee.
Yeah.
So, by the way, when they're healthy, they're a lot of fun to watch.
I knew that people wouldn't like my Detroit pick, and I get it. I don't think they're one of the four best teams, but that's the thing. It's like
you didn't take the assignment seriously.
No,
then, huh?
this is my whole point. It's like
you should take it more seriously.
No, hold on. It's not about who I think is the best. It's about who deserves it the most through the first 12 games, 13 weeks of the season. And I think even though my suspicion is that the Lions aren't as good as the Cowboys, let's say, I think they deserve it based on their resume. That's like Florida State. Not only is Florida State not as good as Alabama, even with Jordan Travis, Florida State's not as good as Alabama. They're also not as good as Georgia. I think if you put Georgia and Washington on a neutral field, I guarantee you Georgia would be favored. But the committee.
Oh, Georgia has a bigger argument of being left out than Florida State, though.
No, they don't. Georgia lost.
Yes, they do.
Well, fine.
So you're going with the most deserving angle.
Yes.
Who has Detroit beaten since week one?
Not really anybody. I mean, they've beaten Green Bay.
So what have they done to deserve it?
I think when you look at a lot of these teams, who have they beaten? Who have the Dolphins beaten? Who have the Cowboys beaten?
Well, the Dolphins are out.
Who have the Cowboys beaten?
Nobody.
Right.
That's why we picked the Chiefs.
So I can't just, I'm not just going to eliminate week one when the Lions beat the Chiefs. Since week one doesn't matter. I mean, in week one, they beat the Chiefs. All right, let's play the fantasy feud. You ready?
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of what we were just doing, right? But let's play the fantasy feud. That was the NFL feud. Top five answers on the board. And we're going to have a Dave Jamie round, a Jamie Heath round, and a Dave Heath round. The first round will be Dave versus Jamie. Mr. Dave, Mr. Jamie, come on up. Top five answers are on the board. I am looking for, you have to say your name to buzz in, the top five rushing leaders in the NFL.
Yards?
Dave.
Rushing yards, yeah.
Christian McCaffrey.
He is the number one answer. Would you like to pass or play?
We're passing.
All right, Jamie. We're actually running because we're looking for the top five rushing leaders. Number one answer, McCaffrey is off the board. Who else do you have?
Zach Moss.
Zach Moss?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No?
Hit the button.
Sorry, yeah.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry is correct. He's number two.
Isaiah Pacheco.
Pacheco is correct. He is number five. So we're looking for three and four, top five rushing leaders, and we have one strike.
Why do I struggle with this?
You should get a list of teams up.
Let me get a list of teams up.
All right, but I have to give you a strike for this delay.
Sure, give me a strike.
All right, you've got one strike left.
Raheem Mostert is number three.
He's number three. That means there's one left. Who is fourth in rushing yards?
Fourth in rushing yards.
Dave is going to have a chance to steal if Jamie does not.
Travis Etienne?
Dave, your chance to steal here. Can you get the point? Who is number four? McCaffrey, Henry, Mostert, Blank, and Pacheco.
I'm debating between three names in my head.
Who are they?
I'm going to go with who are the names?
Yeah.
I was going to try to steal from Dave if Dave didn't get it.
No, you're out here. Yeah, who are the names?
It would be sick if Heath was allowed to steal. There's Jonathan Taylor, there's Bijan Robinson, and there's DeAndre Swift.
Okay, who are you going
and
with?
I'm thinking of saying Swift. I'm going to say Swift because he's played the most. I think he's played the most, so DeAndre Swift.
Dave wins. Dave gets the point.
Yeah!
Woo! All right.
Great job, Dave.
Congratulations, Dave Richard. All right. The next category is Jamie versus Heath. We'll find out. Oh, maybe this should be winner plays Dave. But we'll see. For a little drama. Instead of Heath.
So if Jamie goes 1-1.
Yeah, that's not fair. All right. Jamie versus Heath. Top five answers are on the board. Who are your top five quarterbacks in points per game?
Jamie.
I'll give it to Jamie.
Josh Allen.
He said it louder. He said it louder. Josh Allen is correct. He's number one. It was a tie. What am I supposed to do?
Okay.
You think you got it? He passed. You can play anyway. Top five answers are on the board. Josh Allen's off the board.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Strike one.
There we go. Good start. Jalen Hurts.
Number two.
Man.
These are the top
fantasy points. Is there a minimum number of games that you play?
No, all these guys. No, there's not. No.
Okay.
Forget what I said about all these. No, there's not. Top five quarterbacks in points per game. 6 point per passing touchdown. We have Allen and Hurts.
Brock Purdy?
Purdy is just outside. He's sixth. He's about 0.2 fantasy points per game back. Oh, so. Two strikes.
Yeah, I'm not not doing very well at all.
No, you're not.
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott is third. That was a good one.
So I'm looking for number four and number five in fantasy points per game.
Yep.
At quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Geez. Probably not right, but Justin Fields.
Okay. Jamie, two answers are left on the board. You have a chance to steal here. Allen, Hurts, Prescott, who's left? Top five quarterbacks in points per game.
Did C.J. Stroud's 50-point game put him in this range? I'll say C.J. Stroud.
That is correct. He's number five. And number four is Kirk Cousins.
Oh, wow.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
Ooh.
All right, one for Dave, one for Jamie. Heath has a chance to tie it up. All right, so it's Heath versus Dave, or will Dave?
Do you have a three-way sudden death question ready to go in case Heath beats me?
Schaefer, just one trivia question. Can you do one trivia question? Give me a thumbs up. You good there?
How many seconds do I have to say the name, my name, before they do?
It was a tie.
Tape. I think I got it first.
Yeah. Schaefer will come up with one random trivia question in the next 5 minutes or so, or 2 minutes, while we do this category in case there's a sudden death. All right. So it's Heath versus Dave. Top seven in end zone targets.
Dave.
Heath. No, Dave. You're up.
DK Metcalf.
He is number tied for second. Heath, you have a chance to get the number one answer. End zone target leaders.
This is probably wrong. Cortland Sutton.
He is there, but he's tied for sixth. So Dave, pass or play. We have two. We have two off the board, Metcalf and Sutton, and we have five left. Top seven in end zone targets. Pass or play.
Get those pipes ready, Heath. I'm passing.
I don't know what that means.
It means that he's got a nice voice and we're about to hear it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Heath.
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown is correct.
Travis Kelce. What number was A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown was number four, tied for fourth.
So we got A.J. Brown, Cortland Sutton, DK Metcalf.
Correct.
Tyreek Hill.
Wait, what were the... No. Who were the three you said? You said A.J. Brown.
This is the most unorganized game show.
A.J. Brown, Cortland Sutton, and DK Metcalf.
That's correct. Tyreek Hill was wrong.
Mike Evans.
Correct. He's tied for second.
That's a good guess.
Metcalf. Doing very well here. Gonna be hard for Dave.
I've got faith in him.
Faith-o-meter.
I mean, he's got 5 million targets, so I'll just guess that he's on the list. Keenan Allen.
All right, we're looking for the top seven answers, leaders, and end zone targets. So far, we have four off the board: Evans, Metcalf, AJ Brown, and Cortland Sutton. We need one of the other three. Who are the leaders in end zone targets? Dave, for the win.
It's on me?
Yeah, for the win. And if you lose...
Oh, CeeDee Lamb
is correct. He has 20, which is five more than anyone else. Schaefer is off the hook. We don't need the sudden death. Dave is the winner.
I am the winner!
The most interesting name on the list is Christian Watson. He has 14 end zone targets.
Give me the rest of the list.
Lamb is one, and then there are six players who have between 13 and 15 end zone targets. Evans, Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Christian Watson, Cortland Sutton, Calvin Ridley. So there you go. Okay.
Good to know.
Rapid fire emails. This is from Matthew. PPR, Nico Collins or Chris Olave, Zach Moss or Joe Mixon?
Olave and Moss.
Nico and Moss.
I don't have an answer. I didn't hear the question.
Okay. This is from Dave. I need a name in a city.
Brett from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Dear Clark, Eddie, Rusty, and Todd.
Griswolds.
No, Todd is not a Griswold. Who is Todd?
Neighbor.
The neighbor, that's right. 12-team full PPR super flex. We need a running back. Two out of these three. Mixon, Mostert, Zeke.
I'm sitting Mixon.
I'm sitting Mixon too.
Me too.
All right, we need.
Could be a mistake, but I am.
We need a tight end. Njoku, Kmet, Goddard.
Goddard if he plays, Kmet otherwise.
I'll take Kmet either way.
I'll take Njoku if Goddard doesn't play.
And we need a DST, the Jaguars at Cleveland or the Dolphins against Tennessee?
Dolphins.
That one.
Sure.
Oh, by the way, that was from a guy who drafted Nico and Mostert for $1 each thanks to your advice in the preseason.
Good stuff. Nice.
This is from Drew. I need two of these. Jordan Addison, Odell Beckham, Elijah Moore, Chris Godwin.
I'm sitting Godwin.
Yes.
And
Addison.
I'm sitting Addison. Odell.
I would sit Addison as well.
So I'm saying start Beckham and Elijah Moore.
You get two. So who are the two you're starting?
Beckham
I'll
and Moore.
Start Addison and Moore.
I'll start Addison and Moore.
I'll start Beckham and Moore.
Okay. So definitely start Elijah Moore. This is from Eric in a town in Maine. Eric. What's the town in Maine?
Phillipsburg.
All right, give me two out of three. No, two out of these four. Half PPR and 0.2 points per carry. Josh Jacobs, Adam Thielen, Devontae Smith, Puka Nacua.
I'm going with Smith and Nacua as of now.
Yeah, feels like probably actually I think I'm gonna go Smith and Jacobs. I think that 0.2 per carry probably tilted too much to Jacobs.
I would too.
And Chris from a town in Long Island. Hey Johnny, Lou, Jax, and Sonia. That's Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat. Half PPR.
Mortal Kombat.
Start sit two of these guys. David Montgomery, Ken Walker. Aaron Jones. I mean, really? Why did I put this in? Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, Debo Samuel, Garrett Wilson. Well, I suppose Walker. No, that's dumb of me. Walker and Jones could play. So who are you sitting? Montgomery, Walker, Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, Waddle, Debo, Garrett Wilson.
We're sitting two?
Yeah.
Najee
Walker
Harris.
And Jones might not play, so there you go.
Yeah, you have to start Najee, right? Because we're not going to know about Jones and Walker.
Well, we might by Thursday.
We might.
I would start Harris. I don't know that I'd want to start Aaron Jones even if he comes back. Last time he came back and tried to play, he touched the ball like four times.
Not against that juggernaut on Monday night, right, Heath?
Right. Yep.
There is, Adam, I know you probably saw this, but there's breaking news that a player is coming back, former member of the Packers, to potentially play this week.
Mason Crosby. Well, let me just say how disappointed I am in this selection committee. You chose...
Yeah, your selection was pretty bad.
You chose the Lions.
They're 9-3. They're
you
nine
had the worst by far.
They're not 9
And you scolded us for doing what we were supposed to do.
No, you did. You sold out. And you didn't have the... Me having
you sold out.
I did the right thing. I tried to reward the teams that deserved it.
No, you sold out.
You were selfish. All you cared about is the matchups that you wanted to see.
I was selfish for the viewing audience. That's right.
Right. My group of four will have the highest ratings.
Not mine would, but sure.
You left the Ravens out. That's disgusting.
Oh, boo-hoo.
But they're so good. Come on. All right. That's it for today's show. And we'll talk to you tomorrow with Starter Sit for the AFC home games. Later, everybody.
If you really wanted to do ratings, it would be the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Raiders, and...
This
Packers.
See you later.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.